You are listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry, please visit enduringword.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Thursday afternoon question and answer time. You can tell right away that it's a very special question and answer time because my wife Ingalil is here. And, you know, it just struck me as we were getting ready for today's program that we hardly ever have you on. A couple times in a year, maybe.
And we
every time we do it, go, oh, that was great. It was so much fun. It was such a great show. We should do it more. And then it's like we completely forget about it.
But look, we're so busy. And
you got a lot going on. Yeah, I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
But we really should do this
because
it's more fun this way. So it's a special one because it's Christmas, isn't it?
Yep. Right around the corner next week.
Next Thursday is Christmas Day. We're not doing a live Q&A on Christmas Day. And I have to say, we haven't decided yet. I feel bad. You know, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants here. You know this.
Oh,
you've been married to me.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about her.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, we haven't decided if we're going to do one on New Year's Day or not.
Oh.
I was talking about it with our producer, and we didn't come to a decision.
Yeah.
But next Thursday, December 25th, absolutely not. No Q&A. Today, we have Ingalil, my wife, here. I was going to say Ingalil Guzik, but it sounds funny to say that.
No,
it does.
No,
my wife, Ingalil, here to answer questions and to spend the time with the program with us. But there is something that I need to announce first.
Okay.
Is this okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Today, we're doing another giveaway for the Enduring Word Study Bible. Ingalil, do you remember when I was working on this, months I was working on it?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember how neglected you were during those months?
I have been forgetting about it lately, so. Yeah.
I'm sorry to remind you then.
The reward is a wonderful payoff.
So we're giving away today, we did this last week, and we're doing it again this way, an Enduring Word Study Bible to one of our live viewers. I'm sorry if you're watching this in recorded form, it's too late, but one of our live viewers here today, but you have to be from Canada, the U.S., the EU, or the U.K.
Okay.
We can't just practically. So if you're from one of those regions, leave us a message in the live chat and tell us where you're viewing us from. It could be the city. It could be the state. It could be the country. It doesn't really matter. Just tell us where you're viewing us from, and that will enter you into our live broadcast drawing where you can win an Enduring Word Study Bible. This is the study Bible. I'm so excited about this.
It is so fun. It's great.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And the reviews from people who have got it and are using it as their main Bible.
Okay, I've been really pleased to hear the reviews.
Yeah.
People say that it's good. And, you know, to me, it's exciting to have it come out and it to be good.
Yeah.
I want it to be good for people.
We do.
So anyway, towards the end of the program today, we're going to just have a random drawing of the people who have entered into the contest by telling us where they're viewing from. And among that live audience there, you have to stay around till the end because we have to hear back from you to acknowledge that we drew your name and that you can give us a postal address to send it to.
Otherwise, we have to draw another name.
Yeah, we'll just draw another name.
Yeah,
but we don't like to do that.
It doesn't feel right
to say, oh, you know, Joe Smith from... Okay. So anyway, we're giving away one of these, an Enduring Word Study Bible. And by the way, you can get it either in brown or black. You can request either one, and we will give it to you. I hope our staff can do that. I think so, yeah. I'll even sign a little card and put it in there for you.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds great.
All right. Our normal pattern for a Thursday Q&A is to take a lead question that comes in by email or social media, or maybe it's a leftover question from a time before. We begin with that lead question, but then we take the questions that come in on your live chat. So you can submit questions on the live chat right now. That's fine. But let's talk about the lead question first. And you know what? Our producer has... picked out a lead question today that has to do with couples.
Okay, all right.
Isn't that
nice? I like that.
We're a couple.
We can do it.
So, how long have we been married, Ingalil?
In January, it'll be 43.
I know, so we're just a few weeks shy.
Sorry.
Like 2 weeks almost.
3 weeks.
3 weeks shy of 43 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, and here's the question. How to grow together spiritually as a couple?
Mm.
Let me read the question from No Greater Love 3. Here's the question. My wife and I are both Christians, but we sometimes struggle to grow together spiritually. What are some ways we can intentionally strengthen our relationship with God and with each other as a couple? All right, I'm going to give some thoughts that I have. Folks, you got to know, this is completely unrehearsed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We haven't discussed this at all.
No, it would have been nice to do that on the way down here. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Shoot.
Okay, so here were some things that I thought. Number one, first of all, no greater love. Don't be discouraged. Building up real spiritual growth together as a couple is a thing that evolves over time. So don't be discouraged. You say, we sometimes struggle to grow together spiritually. I would say, praise the Lord, it's not all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, sometimes struggle, that's not too bad. So don't think you're doing bad, you're doing good. That's one thing I'd say. Number one, though, I would say, here, think about spiritual compatibility going into marriage. Now, no greater love, I know this doesn't apply to you because you're already married. But it is something for people to think about as they head into marriage, that ideally, and I understand when you're selecting a spouse, when you're thinking about that person to marry, you don't always have the choice of the ideal. I mean, it's just not. We can't conjure up this picture of a perfect spouse and demand perfection in that. But anyway, ideally, there's a true spiritual compatibility between you and the person you're marrying. And what I mean by that is, your hearts kind of just beat together for the Lord. Look, if a young man or a young woman comes to me and they're on fire for the Lord, I say to them, we've given this counsel together to people. Look, you're on fire for the Lord. Look for a spouse who's on fire for the Lord. Let the lukewarm believers marry each other. I know I'm speaking ideally, but it's something to keep in mind. Mm. Okay, number one, spiritual compatibility. Number two, and this is maybe top of the list above the other one, but this is something for you to do right now, no greater love. Pray together regularly. Mm. I have to say, this is the main thing that Inga-Lil and I do together, is almost every day, not every day. Sometimes things happen in the morning or we're apart traveling, but almost every day, we pray together to start the day.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a very brief prayer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's longer.
Yeah.
But it's an important part of our day to get us started praying together.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just a couple more, and then I want to hear from you.
Okay.
Number three, go to church together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just simple. But going to church, talking about what you've received in the worship, talking about what you received from the message, and not. And I'm just speaking about this hypothetically, and not just like to complain about whatever it is you didn't like in the church service, but just to go to church and make that be an experience where you're encouraged together. And then fourth, I would say, if at all possible, find a way to serve together. Mm. Or maybe hand in hand with that, to encourage each other's service. Mm. I say, I know that I have gifts and callings from God. And my wife, Inga-Lil, has been the chief encourager in my life for that. But I know my wife has gifts and callings as well. And I've tried to encourage those and given her, just the backing and the support she needs. Okay, let me just say one more thing, and then I want to hear from you, Inga-Lil.
Okay,
you and I are familiar with the concept in German weddings that when believers are getting married, they have a verse.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Do they do that in Sweden? They don't do it. Do they?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. But believers who get married in Germany, they often had a verse that's like the theme verse for their wedding.
Right.
You and I figured out just a couple years ago.
Yeah, a long time after we got married.
But this was the theme verse to our wedding, but we didn't even know it at the time.
Yeah.
This is the verse, Psalm 34:4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together.
I love that.
Isn't that?
That's great.
We never realized that was a marriage verse for us.
No.
But it is.
It really is.
And that really contributes to whatever spiritual growth that we have together.
Yeah.
Okay, I've gone on long enough. Inga-Lil, what are some of your thoughts?
No, I think those are good points. I think that having it be an intentional work that you do to grow individually is always going to be part of your life. But the question is, how do we grow together and how do we encourage each other in that spiritual growth? I think it has to come first from your individual walk with the Lord, knowing that you're pursuing the Lord, you're in the Word, you're in worship, you're doing those things. Then that shared, that experience can become shared when you come together for those very things. I think what people should avoid is always having a routine or always having it be the same, because then you fall into the trap of routine and it doesn't become unique and spirit-led. So always look for new ways and new opportunities to encourage each other in the Lord. I think as a brother and a sister, I mean, we're still individuals in the Lord.
We're not just husband and wife.
No, we are.
We're also brother and sister in the Lord.
Family of God. And I want the best for him spiritually, and he wants the best for me spiritually. So we're going to always look for ways to encourage each other. How can I encourage him in this, or pick up on clues that he's discouraged, and how can I give him the encouragement that he needs in the Lord? We're not, you know, we're not a cheerleading squad, and we got to, you know, give me a D, give me an A, give me a V. But we need to find the biblical, spiritual ways to encourage each other, and that has meaning for our own individual walk, but together. So as you pursue each other, you pursue the spiritual aspect of growing together. Honey, how have you been growing this week? Or what did the Lord say to you in your reading? We don't necessarily, and I would say that we don't hardly ever read the Bible together.
We'll talk about the scriptures,
we
don't have a regular program of reading the Bible together.
And I think that would be great. I mean, maybe that will be something in 2026 that we start.
Maybe so.
We'll see. Although I have him in my Bible every day.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Is that an Enduring Word study Bible?
That's my Bible.
And you have one there, don't you?
I do have one.
That's right.
But
I gave it to her. It was complimentary.
Did I have to pay for it? No,
didn't have to pay for it.
I don't remember. So having it as a goal that as my brother in Christ and as my spouse, I want to see growth in him, because growth in him will result in growth for us. And so we look at that as a...
You were talking about the importance of encouraging one another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an easy person to encourage, am I?
You're not easy to encourage. And you're not a super encourager either. I mean, encouraging others doesn't come natural to you. So you do work on that.
Yeah.
And I just have to be more particular about, you know, knowing that I need encouragement when I need it. So
that's
to
right.
tell you, yeah.
So don't be discouraged, no greater love.
Right.
Keep going. Keep doing what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
And I love it, again, going back for your question, that you say sometimes
we
have trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, that's doing good.
Absolutely.
This is an area of spiritual attack.
Yeah.
And so pray together a lot, encourage one another.
Yeah.
Those things are all very important. Okay, can we go into some of the questions coming in on the live chat?
Sure.
Okay, here is one from This Grandpa Loves Jesus.
Aww.
Oh, that's a nice name. I struggle with being a prayer leader in our family. My prayers are short, concise, yet genuine and spirit-filled. Although my wife's are longer and more scripture-filled. Any advice?
Oh,
Mama Mia, do we recognize
every
that?
Every single one, mostly, in every marriage. That's just the nature of men and women.
What is it?
I know.
Okay, well, there have been times when you and I have prayed together, and I pray for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, again, just like this fella says, short, concise, yet genuine, and I pray spirit-filled.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you'll pray, and I don't know, 20 minutes? Well, not that long.
Is the question, does he want to do
He says he struggles with it.
Struggles with the idea
just
of...
Just the fact that there's a disparity, that he seems to be so focused and directed when they pray together, and the wife seems to be so verbose.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the best word, but...
What does that mean?
It means to talk a lot.
Talk a lot. Verbs.
Verbose, yes.
Verbiage.
Okay, well, first of all, that's normal.
That is
at least it's normal to us.
Yeah.
We recognize that.
Yeah.
But number two, I would just say this, and I don't mean to criticize the wife on this, but I will offer this word of correction, is that when you're praying together with somebody, you need to pray in a way that will keep them in the prayer.
Sure.
And so if you go on for 15 minutes on a solo prayer, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
So I'm not one to say how long an individual's prayer should be when they pray together. But if it's too long in one group, then you lose that principle of agreement with in prayer. Right. You get to the place where that other person isn't agreeing with you in prayer, but they're just waiting for you to stop praying.
Well, and I'm hoping that that's not the case, but that can't.
It doesn't necessarily need to
be the case. And in this in this case, maybe the whole idea of not not being so engaged is what bothers him, that he's not so engaged. But I think styles are different. Think about this. You're two individuals coming together before Almighty God. You're going to be different. You're going to approach it differently. So your differences shouldn't pull you apart. It should bring you together and acknowledge that you don't want to change her and you don't want her to change you. You be who God has you in the relation with God. And if it changes over time, you become, as the Swedish proverb goes, man blir som man umgås, which is you become.
We say that all the time. Man blir som man umgås.
You become as those you are with, and you become more like each other. So, which is totally fine. Which might be a good segue to say hi to my mom and dad.
Oh.
Hej, mor och far. Skojigt att ni tittar på. Hoppas ni har en underbar helg innan julen.
Yeah.
Ha det bra.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let me go. Okay, here is another question from, this is from This Grandma Loves Jesus.
Oh.
Okay.
Is that his wife?
There's a good chance.
Okay. Okay.
There could be more than one Jesus-loving grandma and grandpa out there.
There could be. I'm sure there is.
Hello. When the Bible states that a couple should come together as one flesh, what does that exactly mean so that we can make the union throughout our lives pleasing to God? God bless you both. Okay. What does that one flesh union look like? Now, there are some people who, when they hear that phrase, a one flesh union, they immediately jump to thinking about marital intimacy. Mm-hmm. And look, I think that's connected to it, of course, but I don't think that's the focus. Mm-hmm. The focus is where two separate individuals, typified by the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, they were separate individuals. Mm. You know, they had two different hearts beating in their chests. They two sets of lungs that breathed. Two separate brains, of course. Two individuals, yet God spiritually, and if I could use the phrase without being mystically, joined them together as one person. Mm. And what it means is that there should be a real consideration of what it means that the couple is one. So that, and this is especially a word to husbands, you need to think and act in the marriage according to what's better for us, not what's better for you, or not even necessarily what's better for the wife. Because it shouldn't be all about pleasing the husband and giving him what he wants. Nor should it be all about pleasing the wife and giving her what she wants. No, we shouldn't look at it that kind of battle. The husband and wife should work together with the husband as the head to say what's best for us together as a couple. And that life lived together, it's so much more than being roommates in the same house.
Right.
Where, let's be honest, a lot of Christian marriages effectively function that way.
Right, right.
It's lives shared, shared spiritually, shared emotionally, shared with the duties, shared economically, and yes, shared in the realm of marital intimacy.
Right.
But that's just one beginning area. I think the other areas end up being collectively bigger.
And you know what I think about? I think about that game that you played as a kid where you were paired up with somebody else and you had to strap your one leg together.
Right, the one-legged race.
Three-legged race.
One-legged race. And that's a pogo stick.
Forget that. So having that imagery where your flesh is connected by, you know, rope together, but you have to both communicate, you have to be in unity, you have to have a goal in mind, you have to know what you're going to do and the pace you're going to go at. And I think that that carries over into the spiritual, emotional, and mental. Mm. Having that mentality that in every way that is possible, we are as one, moving in the same direction with communication, with anticipation, with purpose.
You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, that great marriage passage, Paul emphasizes that idea of one flesh so strongly, especially in his words to the husband.
Right.
I think, and I get a lot of this from that great work that D. Martin Lloyd-Jones did in his massive, six or seven volume set of preaching through Ephesians. In the volume where he deals with that Ephesians 5 passage, he deals with this brilliantly. It's one of the best things that I ever read on marriage.
Yep.
And if I could summarize, I'm not quoting him, but I'm kind of paraphrasing him. It's that, look, what the husband needs to always remember is that he is made one flesh with his wife. Mm. And in all of his thinking, in all of his actions, in all of his heart, he needs to consider them collectively, not individually. Mm. What the wife is tempted to forget is that that oneness has a head. And the head is the husband. Mm-hmm. It's not a two-headed being. It's one being, but that one being has a head. And the Bible makes it very clear that the husband is the head. So,
And it's important for the wife to give information, give counsel, give advice, give direction, give her opinions on all the things that the husband is going to need to make decisions on.
Which any wise husband would delight in hearing.
And any wise woman would do it in the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we've practiced this principle a lot. And that when I say practice, I mean you don't really know how to do this until you're married and been married for a while. Yeah. How does that dance go back and forth to where you're allowing the decision-making to be his, but your information has to be spot on in order for you to give him the information that he needs to have all parts moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
So it's a collaborative, informative way to make your marriage work well. Mm. And that takes a lot of effort.
Well, and involved in all that, I don't mean to go off too long in these questions,
but
it leads to a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What God does through that is it involves a lot of death to self.
Yeah.
If you're doing it right, loving your wife as Christ loved the church, considering that she's one with you, that you're one with her, that should lead to a lot of death to self.
Yeah.
And wife, if you're considering the same arrangement and how God calls you to submit to your husband as head of the home, that's going to involve a lot of death to self.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of dying.
But then resurrection life in the midst of
that's
it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go on to the next question. But before we do, I need to give this announcement again because there are people who have joined us since we started.
Okay.
They don't even know that today is a giveaway day for an Enduring Word Study Bible. Look, I don't know what the retail value of this is, $50, $60, something like that.
Yep.
We're giving one of these away today to one of our live viewers. If you're watching this recorded, sorry, we've already had the contest and it's over. But if you're one of our live viewers, first of all the contest details and rules are in the video description. You can look it up yourself. But secondly, what we want you to know is you enter the competition by just letting us know where you're viewing from. Mm. City, state, country, whatever. That enters you into our competition. And I have to let you know that we're limiting this to people who live in the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and the EU. Okay. Just postal regulations make it difficult for us to send it outside of there. So we're going to have a random drawing with about 10 or 15 minutes left in the program. We're going to close down the entries. And after we close down the entries, we'll do a random drawing. And whoever wins, you got to hang on to the end.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't know that you've been picked, and we can't get your postal address from you.
So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is a Christmas program. Look at you.
It is a
Christmas.
I'm so all Christmassy.
There you are. You're Christmassy.
Yes, all Christmassy.
I'm about as Christmassy as I get.
That's about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway.
That's okay.
Okay. Kathy asked a question. For a few years now, my husband and I read and discuss Blackaby's Experiencing God devotional. It's wonderful and goes deep, but can you recommend another devotional for mature Christians? What devotion would we get? Okay, let's give two answers. First of all, they didn't ask for something specifically for couples.
No,
so we can pick anything, if we think of that.
Yeah.
But you know, my favorite devotional is Spurgeon's Morning and Evening.
Oh, okay.
Just because I'm kind of a Spurgeon freak.
Yes, you are.
But yeah, I mean, I've read thousands of Spurgeon sermons.
Yeah.
So Morning and Evening,
morning
I think,
evening
is just
really
wonderful.
Good. Yes.
My Utmost for His Highest, a lot of
that's
people like.
That's my favorite.
Okay, that's your favorite, and which is a super popular one.
Yeah.
There is a book that we like to recommend to people for couples. Remember that one by Bill Stonebreaker?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, tell people about that book. It might be a little... They can get it on Amazon, right?
They can get... I think on Amazon, yes. It's called Spiritual Warfare in Marriage.
Okay.
And it really deals with the ins and outs of how the enemy attacks marriages and how you can safeguard against it. And it's just a small little paperback book. It's not really a devotional, but it's definitely a book if you feel like
you could read it that way if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could. Okay. And there is questions and answers and stuff like that, but it's not really a devotional. So if you feel like you're on that edge of things where, you know, you feel like you're butting up against a wall constantly. And Dave and I always discuss this when we have disagreements, which we do have every now and then. Is this a relationship issue or is a spiritual attack? And I think that has saved our marriage from a lot of unnecessary hurt and pain.
Well, there's been times in our marriage when we've been super slow to pick up on the idea that this is fundamentally a spiritual attack.
Right, right. Yeah, so we always do that. We always kind of come to a discussion, is this really something we need to work on, or do we have a strong sense that it's spiritual attack?
Yeah.
Then if we know it's spiritual attack, then we come against it in prayer. Then we're unified together against the enemy's darts and wiles and lies.
Yes.
So,
okay. Justin asks this question. Do David and Ingalil participate in any form of family worship? If so, any recommendations of how to incorporate worship as a family? Our family worship is our prayer time.
Yeah.
At the beginning of each day. Now, I know that's not what he's talking about.
More as a
probably as a family, like a morning devotional service together as a family.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
No, that hasn't been our practice.
But it's a great idea if that's your desire to do that. And what we have done oftentimes is we've celebrated communion as a family with our kids and grandkids.
Yes.
And that's been very meaningful. But pursue that and make it a good thing that you do.
Okay, I'll be honest, because we never really incorporated this into our family life when our kids were younger. But I have heard of people who have done what I'm going to describe here. And that is incorporate some kind of scripture reading and discussion as part of meal time.
Sure.
We did do, I think, a very good job when our kids were growing up about having dinner together as a family.
Yeah.
We did a very good job with that. And the couples that I've heard that have done that deliberately made mostly scripture reading and talking about it and maybe a brief time of prayer part of that family meal. It's worked pretty good.
Yeah. And I grew up with my father doing evening devotions with us as kids and reading a kid's devotional and a prayer time and questions.
Was that like before going to bed or?
It was always before going to bed, yeah.
Yeah,
it
because once you were asleep, there was no point to it.
Well, and not in the morning is when everybody's getting ready and he's already out the door. So that became a meaningful way of introducing having evening devotions or being together as a family doing that. I think it's a great goal to pursue and try different things.
Yes.
Because that's how things work.
Yes. Yeah, you got to bring together the spiritual and then the practical. The practical has to work for your family as well.
Yeah, and don't set out as a goal, oh, we got to do this every night now, but maybe start out slow and build towards it because you want your family to have a desire for it and a hunger for it too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, very good. Kathy asks another question, or a different Kathy. Hello from Nevada. My question is, why do we believe the Bible is true? I'm looking for a way to explain it to my grandchildren. Mm. How would you explain that the Bible's true in a way that would be relevant to children? Well, I don't know. I would begin with this, that the Bible is the most unique, amazing book that the world has ever seen, that it was written over a span of thousands of years by 40 different authors on three different continents, in three different languages, by people from all different kinds of classes and economic backgrounds, in all those different circumstances, yet it speaks with a unified voice about the most controversial topics and philosophical ideas that the world has seen. That's one aspect that tells us the Bible's special. But another aspect that speaks to us about the inspiration of the Bible is the phenomenon of fulfilled prophecy. And Kathy, I think that you could just explain to your grandchildren how God predicted certain things hundreds, sometimes 1,000 years before they happened, and they happened exactly as he said. A good example of this would be the virgin birth.
Yep.
Right? This was prophesied in Isaiah. It was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. Again, this shows that the content of the Bible comes to us from an intelligence that knows things are going to happen hundreds of years before they happen.
Right.
And that gives real credence to the Bible. And then for a third thing, I would say it's uniqueness, a prophetic fulfillment, and then a third thing, life-changing power.
Yeah.
The Word of God changes lives.
Yeah.
It's changed our lives.
Yeah.
So those are three things I think of.
Yep.
Anything more to add?
On the third point, I think that's where you can bring in missionary stories, missionary biographies, peoples who have brought the Word of God to the ends of the world, and their lives have been changed because of it. That's a good, tangible, in our day and age situation where it makes a difference.
Okay, I'm looking at my clock, and in just about 10 minutes, we're going to close entries.
Okay.
So if you're watching now, if you don't win, because I need to be honest with you folks, only one person's going to win today.
That's huge.
We're giving away one.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. One person's going to win this today. But if you didn't win, you can buy this.
That's true.
It's a great thing for you. It's a great gift for somebody else.
Yeah.
You can order it from christianbook.com. That's where we're really recommending people buy the Enduring Word Study Bible because they seem to have the best price.
Yeah.
Christianbook.com, or, of course, Amazon. You can get it there, too. So, but in just about 10 minutes, we're going to close entry for today's drawing for an Enduring Word Study Bible giveaway. Ready for another question?
Yep.
Alice, I am a 23-year-old believer, 1 year down in a relationship with a non-believer. I now really realize that our spiritual belief difference will not work in a marriage. I'm struggling to break up with him because of the way his parents are so involved in our relationship. They are really pushing for us to get married. Any advice on how I could deal with this?
Well
I feel strangely led to let you answer first.
Oh,
on this
do,
one, Angela.
Do you? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Well, I think opportunity is key here. Giving him a place, a time, opportunity to be in a setting where the gospel is being preached. You might not be the one to do that, but if God is so much a part of your life to 100%, you're going to want him to know what that means. So bringing him to church, bringing him to several different churches, bringing him to Bible studies, he needs an opportunity to respond to the gospel and to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think that's key. So you can't just, you know, it's not going to happen if no opportunity is given him at that time. If you can postpone the wedding itself until you've seen an interest, that he has an interest, or that he is more questioning or has more...
Would you say that she's on the right track of saying, I don't think I should marry this man because he's not a believer?
I think that's the right track to be at right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. And let's just say it's not because he's fundamentally a horrible person or you know, could never be a good husband or this or that. But it is true, Alice, you're perceiving this correctly, that at the fundamental core level of your life, your lives are being lived for different purposes, right, with different goals in mind. And that's going to affect your marriage relationship.
It's going to affect it very deeply and very profoundly. So giving him the opportunity to respond, and also picking up on those clues that if he is anti-God, if he is anti-living, anti-you going to church, then I think the breakup is probably the better way to go. It's not necessarily has to be done that way, but I think that you would live a more peaceful life in your marriage if you postponed it now and see where he's at. Ask him completely straightforward, why is God not part of his life now? Mm. What does he have against it? And what walls are there to begin with? So he having a great relationship with his parents doesn't necessarily need to change if something does happen and you break up. Those are people that could be in your life no matter what. So, but having their backing and their support of why you're waiting is very important. So give him an opportunity, wait till you know more, allow him to respond to direct questions that you might have.
All right, let's move on to a few more questions we got here. Eric, here's two questions about being single in church. One from Eric. The modern world seems to drive a wedge between men and women, but the church makes it worse. I know this is not the intent, but it seems to be the effect. Should I just give up and be single? And then Alan, I'm in Camarillo, California.
Wow.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
I'd like to ask, how can the church help singles grow spiritually in a culture where the church has mistreated them, often makes them feel alienated, marginalized, neglected, compared to couples and families?
Hmm.
Well, Alan and Eric, let me say something just kind of in the big picture of this, with Christians and singleness, and this might merit its own lead question in a later Q&A.
Hmm.
It is absolutely true that God calls some believers to singleness, and he so gifts those people for singleness. This is expressly stated by the Apostle Paul, and we know that Jesus never married.
Mm.
Of course, he has the bride of Christ, the church, so to speak. And then Paul was not married, at least during the days of his ministry.
Mm.
So there is no inherent shaming or disgrace attached to singleness in Christianity.
Mm.
However, we also recognize that most people are called to be married, and most people should get married. Most Christians should get married. The human race won't continue on if people don't get married and have babies.
Mm.
I mean, that's kind of a broader cultural reason for marriage, but there's lots of biblical and discipleship reasons for that as well. Now, I think a lot of people think that, but of course, the difficulty is, Lord, how do I find that one? How do I meet that person?
Well, and I think too that he's looking at the church and what the church has done, and that there's a problem. And I think I understand what he says, because it is a lot about couples and families and couples and families. But if you can be part of the solution in your church to change it in your church, to be a solution to say, how can we incorporate this more? I think the church is open to that. I think the church rolls along and doesn't necessarily see all their blind spots. So coming into your own church and seeing how can you be part of the solution to heighten people's sensitivity to that. You can't change the past, so don't even mess with that. But what can you do to change the verbiage and the climate of your church towards singles?
So if I hear you right, you're kind of saying that when churches don't do well in this area, it's usually not because they're filled with malice discrimination, so to speak, against singles. It's most often by neglect.
By neglect. And I think those churches who do well their singles ministry or not making the distinction so big, they have taken and given attention to this area, and they want to change that. So if maybe your church isn't doing so well in that, be part of the solution, or find a church who's doing it well and you'd feel more comfortable. But the idea is not looking and waiting for the church to do it wrong or, you know, make a mistake again, but allowing them to be more sensitive to the issue. And that is something that you can help with. And so I think that...
So Eric, you asked, should you just give up and remain single?
No. But recognize that being married isn't necessarily the end-all goal in life. That's not the end-all goal. The end-all goal is for you to know God and make Him known, to live your life in a constant process of being conformed into His image, and to glorify His name. And so if you can do that and want to do that as a single person, that's great. That's amazing and wonderful. If you want to do that as a married person, then pursue that purpose as well. So I wouldn't exclude marriage, but I wouldn't wait for life to start happening when you get married. Live your life the way God is calling you to live, so that when you do meet the person, it might be that you meet that person when you're doing real life the way you want to be doing it and honoring God, then He will show you who that person is.
And if you're a single believer and you do want to get married, you feel that your state of singleness is not something that God has for you for the rest of your life, then it is good to be looking for the right person. That's
right.
Not bad,
right.
But it's even more important to put a focus on being the right person.
Yep. Being the right person and allowing the changes that God would want to do in you anyway as a person, whether you are single or married. And just keep in mind, married people and single people, there is no marriage in heaven. That will be absolved. So if you want to do what...
We're not going to be married in heaven.
No, we're not. It's okay.
It's okay with you.
But allowing God, if you want to live more selfless, more dying to self, as we talked about, marriage is the great field to do that in. But if you want to live intentionally and purposely as a single person for the things that God wants to do in your life and through your life, singleness is temporary. Marriage is temporary. But we are all individuals that God is working in His perfect plan and purpose to be who He wants us to be. So,
okay, I'm looking at my clock. We're quarter till the hour here. So I'm going to answer one more question. And after this question, we're going to close entries for the Enduring Word Study Bible giveaway. Okay?
All right.
Mr. Producer, if that's not good, then let me know. But otherwise, we're just going to close entries after we answer this next question.
Okay.
Here we go. Hooks asks, maybe the question is to close the entries now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I got a notice. Okay, we're going to... Okay, people, we're closing entries now.
No, it's happening.
Okay, it's happening. Now, if you haven't already submitted your location where you're viewing from as a comment in the live chat, you have to do it right now or it's going to be too late.
Okay, so is that all they have to do there?
All they have to do is in the live chat say, You know, because their screen name appears.
Like London. Yeah, or London. UK or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
Okay, they need it where they're listening from. Because we're closing entries. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now. Okay, now our team is going to get together and put all those names into some kind of random.
It is a mystery to me.
We have such a team that they're going to get together and put in some random thing generator.
Yeah, okay.
And bring forth a name.
Thing generator.
But listen, if you want to win this, you got to hang on until we announce the winner.
Okay.
If you leave and we say, hey, where's John Smith from London, England?
Yeah.
And John Smith doesn't reply.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, they get that? Yeah, you think they get that?
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's a question from Hooks. Ready?
Yeah.
Question, what advice can you give a young couple that's called to the mission field overseas? Any books or maybe some advice received from other missionaries you have talked with? Well, okay, were we a young couple when we went out to the, when we went to Europe? We spent 7 years in Germany, and I was the director, and Ingelo, did you have a title? You just manage stuff.
Operations,
yeah, whatever. But we together with a bigger, great team and staff, we had a small international Bible college, Calvary Chapel Bibelschule Deutschland, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. But I think too, depending on what we could recommend for them to read. Would be, are they going to church plant? Are they going to join an organization? Are they going to...
Do you think that makes a big difference?
I think so. I think there's some good books out there on church planting in the mission field or church planting wife. You know, there's some books out there on that. I don't necessarily highly recommend them, but anything you can get your hands on where people leave one place and go to the other. We live in such a transient world right now that moving abroad or doing a semester abroad is very common, but picking up everything and saying we're going to the mission field for an indefinite time for our lives, we call that in the mission field lifers, or your short term, you could go for a few years. I would say if you're lifers, then there's a whole different set of rules that you kind of want to follow and do that. I would say if you're leaving as a family, we were given this advice, and I think that was one of the best advice. Mm. If you're leaving as a family and you have younger or even up through high school, junior high, high school, let your kids bring whatever they want from their belongings onto the mission field. And why we say that is there's a lot of adjustments. And to miss something that you had to give up to go on the mission field can be a real discouragement.
So if you got young children, you don't say, okay, you can pick one toy.
Exactly.
You say, let's take the box full of toys.
Let's take the box full of toys. Yeah. And they can sort things out. They can give things away when they're on the mission field. If you're going to a first world country, is different with you're going to a third world country or developing country. Makes a big difference. So feel free to contact you with more specifics.
Well, no. That's fine. But let me give some specific book recommendations. Number one, Ingelo already referred to this in general, missionary biographies.
Yep.
Just read missionary biographies. Those are always good and helpful.
Yep.
But secondly, one of the best little books that I ever read having to do with missions and just the individual life of what it is to be sent out is a book. Okay, I forget.
Green
I always
Leaf
forget
and
if
Drought?
No. Nope. If it's oh. Oswald Sanders
oh,
or
yeah,
Oswald
yeah.
Chambers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was Oswald Chambers. I'm pretty sure Oswald Chambers. Not Knowing Whither.
Whither. Right.
And it's a series of devotions that he did through the life of Abraham, but especially about how Abraham went not knowing where he was going to.
Right.
And it's a tremendous devotional. I've highly recommended that devotional. If you can, get it in the older version that has that exact title, Not Knowing Whither. I think they made a updated version, Not Knowing Where.
Oh, okay.
But it's not as cool.
No.
It's better there.
Very cool.
Okay. They're working. I got notice here from the producer. They're working on the numbers. That's right.
Okay.
They probably got to put it into some huge supercomputer.
Yes.
And using all levels of AI and this and that to generate the answer for us.
Yep.
But in the meantime, we have a question from Kit Kat. Question, Paul said, do boast in our infirmities. How do we do that? David and Ingalil, could you give an example? Mm-hmm. Well, boasting in our infirmities. Let's say that we have a weakness in our flesh. Now, as Ingalil and I get older, we have more and more of the aches and pains that come with getting older. So, you know, let's say I'm kind of hampered by having a super stiff shoulder or something like that. And it's something that I feel, you know, fairly often during the day, and it's kind of painful and it's discouraging. I'm kind of learning to live with it. Well, it's not like I stand on the street corner and say, I boast in my sore shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I'm using that almost as a picture of a lot of different things that could be a source of pain or difficulty to somebody. It could be some way that you've been sinned against.
Mm-hmm.
It could be some pain that you picked up along the way. It could be a habit that suddenly has become a problem for you. Lots of different things you could say here. But the idea isn't like to find a public place and say, I boast in my bad shoulder. No, the real idea, the real point here is to have that attitude of life that says, this is something that I can and should glory in instead of being ashamed of and thinking that it's ruining my life. By the power of Jesus in my life, this is something that can bring blessing and goodness.
Hmm.
And one way that happens is hopefully it would make me rely on the Lord even more.
Hmm.
You know, I don't want to make this all about health, you know, and the way our bodies work and everything, but when you're healthy and young and everything works great, your body and all that, it's easy to take it for granted, and you kind of glory in it a little bit.
Hmm.
Maybe not, you don't walk around thinking that way, but you just have that sense of, you know, confidence in life of, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm young and strong and things are good. Well, listen, when you start to lose that, it's easy to, somebody could get depressed about that.
Hmm.
Instead of thinking, you know what? Even as my body grows weaker in some ways, my spirit is as strong as ever. And I am more spiritually healthy and strong before the Lord than I've ever been. That's a wonderful, glorious place to be in.
That's a great thing. Okay, I just noticed here. We have a winner.
We do.
Yes,
you noticed it before I did.
I did. I looked down at your pad.
You looked. So you're going to read the winner.
I'm going to read.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yes. So we have our winner, and her name is Laura Angelillo from Milan, Italy. Congratulations.
Laura Angelillo from Milan,
Merry
Italy.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah.
Awesome. This is
we're
yours.
So happy you get it. Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Okay. So Laura.
Laura.
Laura. Is that her name? Laura.
Yep.
Laura, let us know whether you want it in black or brown.
Yeah.
And our team will send one to you.
Mine's in brown.
Yours
like
in brown.
Mine. It's super
admittedly,
soft,
Laura, you need to. It may take a while to get to you.
Yeah.
Shipping from the U.S. It takes a long, but we will definitely send. Congratulations to our winner.
Yay.
And if you are not numbered among our winners, you can still get an Enduring Word Study Bible.
You can still get it. Yes.
So,
yes.
And or you can give one to somebody else.
You can get one
as
for yourself
as a gift.
And give one to someone else. Yeah.
So fantastic from Milan, Italy, Laura Angelillo. Hey, Laura, I don't know if you know, maybe you do, but my entire New Testament commentary is translated into Italian, and we have an Italian website all set up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's italian.enduringword.com or it.enduringword.com, but we have a dedicated website just in Italian, so I hope that's of help to you or maybe some people you know.
Great.
Okay, I don't know if we're going to get more questions.
Okay.
Maybe
well,
we will.
We might. Yeah, we're
we
getting
might.
Close to the top of the
okay,
hour.
Okay, next Thursday, we are not... oh my gosh, I said that.
Yeah.
And then here comes the lightning round.
Lightning round, okay. I know, this is always tough for you, honey.
Nah, hey, I'm up for it.
Man of many words.
Give it to me.
Yes.
Let's go. Come on.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want me to read
Yes. Why don't you read the lightning round questions?
And
okay,
then,
ready?
And then if you're taking too long, I'll start reading the next one.
It starts with Susan. See
okay,
that up
Susan,
there?
Susan, Does the oneness in marriage of one flesh mean one bank account?
I think it should.
Okay. Question. Is it important to have the same interest in politics and its influence on Christian life, threat of Islam on Christianity, restriction, freedom of speech, Christian schooling? What if you don't align?
It makes a marriage better and easier if there's alignment on those. I won't say that a good marriage is impossible where there's a difference on those things, but it does make it much more challenging.
Okay. My wife and I attend the same church. Unfortunately, she does not pray with me, and we are having a lot of issues in our marriage. We have been together for 21 years. Can you give me guidance, please?
If your wife will permit you, don't pray with her, pray for her. Now, of course, you can pray for your wife anytime you want, but I mean in her presence. Mm. So maybe before you leave for the day, you sit down, you put your hand on her shoulder, and you pray for her, and you pray. And I'm not talking about a 20-minute prayer. Mm. I'm talking about a brief, sincere prayer. If she will not agree to pray with you, then pray for her, and ideally, you're doing that in her presence.
Yep. That's a good way to start.
Yes.
And then I think having the conversation, maybe the tough conversation, to say, why are you not doing that? Why are you not praying together? And maybe start something once a week and just see how it goes. So that's important. Okay. The right way, 99. What are the different ways you can hear God's voice?
Well, I always tell people this. If you want to hear God's voice, open your Bible.
Okay, that's one way.
That's fundamental.
Yep.
And it's the major way. It's the surefire way. We know God speaks to us in and through His Word.
Okay, so now, open the Word and you're just reading, if you want to hear God's voice, what's the first thing you should be looking for? Then?
As you read the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing you need to do is you got to have some understanding of context.
Right.
So there's the old joke, a guy, he's looking for guidance in the Bible and he opens it up and it's the place where Judas ended his own life.
Right.
And then he goes, let me turn to another passage. And he turns to another passage and it's where Jesus says, go thou and do likewise.
Okay.
Okay.
But the idea would be then look for a principle that God wants you to apply to your life.
Yes.
If you do that, then you can be reading for a while, but then God gives the opportunity for you to hear His voice too.
And if the context isn't clear to you about who this is for and whether or not it applies to you, then use some Bible resources.
Yep.
Use an Enduring Word Study Bible. Go to the Enduring Word Commentary. Look for other Bible helps. There's lots of great stuff out there.
Yep.
But use some help along the way.
And I think too, just some kind of casual one, Christian radio. And then having worship on in your home.
Okay, that's true. But I wouldn't look for the Christian radio for God to speak to me in it more than just in the normal way through the people who preach His Word and such.
Right, right.
But okay, if you want to hear a word from God, open up your Bible. But I do believe that God communicates. I don't like to use the word speaks because people kind of think, I'm waiting for an audible voice or something like that. But God communicates to His people sometimes
better.
In a way that's hard to define with an inner leading or an inner guiding that always has to be subject to His Word.
Okay, great. As a young adult, what should I be looking for in a future wife?
A woman who loves the Lord, a woman who's pleasant to be with, and a woman that you're attracted to.
Okay, then I'm going to add my three. A woman who cares that her character is more beautiful than the outside.
Boom.
And then a woman who doesn't neglect the outside because she cares about the inward. And that she is a kind person, helpful person, nurturing person, and is others-centered. Okay, hooks to twin. How important is it for a couple to stay grounded to one church faithfully for the long haul, especially if that is a church that they got married in? Oh, that's interesting.
Well, okay, it's good, but if something goes sideways with that church, or if honestly there's just another church in the community that will much better serve you and your family, then it's okay to go there. But there is something wrong with people who seem to, you know, we use the phrase church hop. You know, they're hopping from church to church.
Right, right. I don't think that's the issue.
But nobody, yeah, that's not the person's problem here, of course. But it is possible to stay in a church that you should be leaving, and it would be time for you to move on. So okay. Ask how important,
okay.
I mean.
How important? I mean, there's so many
variations.
It is
a good thing, but it's not the highest
yes.
good.
Yes, okay. Well, this is a different question, but kind of in the same, so I'm going to skip to that one. Should husband and wife be in the same leadership group? How can we be one, quotations, when one is in the leadership group and not the other? We have problems in this area as well.
I would say ideally, yes, they're in the same leadership group, as long as they work well together with that.
Well, and as long as they're both using the gifts that God has, because there can be such a Grand Canyon between the area that their gifts are used in. And so maybe the idea is that if the husband has a stronger gift in one leadership area, she comes alongside as a support. But then what area she is gifted in, he comes along as a support in that. They don't necessarily both have to emphasize their...
So let's say you have a husband who's on the worship team because he has music ability, and the wife has like zero music ability. It's not a matter of just getting her on there so that they can serve together.
No, exactly. No, you get that. Okay, can I miss God's will for a spouse? I believe there's more than one person, one option, but can I miss his will for a good potential spouse? And is there a second chance with them?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. It's not like there's one person.
Okay, but can you miss God's will for a spouse? Can you miss God's will? I think, is there one person for everybody? Is there only that one person?
There's two mentalities that we should have.
All right.
The one is before marriage. Okay. Before marriage, I have many options.
Okay.
And I just need to discern and figure out before God what the best option is. That's before marriage. After marriage, there was only one option from the beginning of time.
Amen.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
And so really, there has to be an abrupt shift in your mentality before and after marriage.
Yes. Okay. I need to add something to this, which I think is very important, not talked about enough. And that is, piggybacking on that, once you've made the choice, that choosing happens all the time within the marriage, over and over and over and over again. Every woman wants to be chosen, and every woman wants to know that she was chosen, that only God told you is not enough. Only God, this was only God's will for your life.
I didn't want to marry you, but God told me to.
But God told me to, no. So every woman needs to know that she was chosen from every other woman in there, and that God led you to it. And I think every man wants to feel like he's been chosen, but it's much more important for the spouse, and that you're not second guessing once you've made that choice, like, oh, did I make the right choice? Oh, did I make the right choice? No, you make the same choice after marriage over and over and over again.
Okay, I'll go on record. I think God chose you for me, but I chose you too. And I'm entirely happy with that choice.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. I'm happy about that.
Good, good.
All right, that was the lightning round. We did it!
All right.
Yes! Ah.
All right, so everybody, from Ingalil and myself to you.
Yes.
And from all our Enduring Word team, because we got a wonderful team. You know, we don't put him on the camera that much. You guys see Lance Ralston. He's on the camera, of course, but... the other parts of the team, we don't put on the camera. They don't care for that. But we got a wonderful team from Ingalil and myself. We just want to say, have a wonderful Merry Christmas. We love you, and we're not sure whether we're going to do a show on New Year's Day, but follow us along. We'll let you know.
Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry and how to grow in your relationship with Jesus, please visit enduringword.com.